Just be real honest. How many people know what it means when they sing the Thomas kind of faith?
I do.
Okay, not everybody probably knows. Okay, all right. In John, but John what?
John 20:20.
Yeah. Just for a second.
Talks about Didymus Thomas.
Okay, Thomas was one of the disciples. Okay, it's verse 24.
Yeah.
Okay. So, starting though verse 18, and Mary Magdalene came and she told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, because she had seen him, and that he had spoken these things to her, that not to touch him, for he had not yet ascended to his Father in heaven. See, he had a carry his blood up there and purify the Holy of Holies up there. Okay. Verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Actually, this is when they were born again. People say it was on Pentecost. No, they were already born again. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whose sins you retain, they are retained."
Yeah.
You know, you could say, though, if you don't forgive somebody in that right there, you keep that sin. If you're in unforgiveness towards somebody, you keep that sin. But now here's Thomas. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said, "We saw the Lord." And he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And see, sometimes we say, until all these symptoms go, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach thither my hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing."
Yeah.
You know, it says in the Amplified, "Do not be faithless and incredulous, but stop your unbelief and believe."
Yeah.
And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Now that could be us, right? We have not seen him.
Right.
See, he had, okay, faith does not look at what it feels, what it sees, or what it hears.
Yeah.
So see, and even that praying for a good report,
uh-huh.
No, don't, I mean, who's, okay, then you're looking at what you see.
Yeah.
You know what? See who's, and it says in Isaiah 53:1, whose report do you believe? God's report is already established. So Thomas, he called him faithless and unbelieving. And I didn't expect to go into that, but since she sang it, it's really neat. You need to know what that means. Yeah, because all the disciples believed, you know, in him. And so, you know what? We haven't seen him, But we believe in him.
Amen.
But you also got to believe in the healing power of God. You got to believe that he delivered you from lack and poverty also. That's right. So now we're just going to continue kind of from last week of what we were talking about. Healing, somewhat. We started out with healing. And so we said in Hebrews 3:1, it says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession.
Amen.
What do you mean confession? Saying, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed.
Yeah.
Himself took my infirmities, bare my sicknesses. You know, speaking healing,
yeah,
or speaking anything, my God supplies my needs,
yeah,
according to his riches and glory. All my needs.
Yeah.
Speaking, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Yeah.
Speaking, devil, I have the authority to bind you.
Amen.
You know, I was reading today how the witches are binding, they said not to the point of death of President Trump, as if they could. Doing. I mean, it's just dumb. It makes me laugh. We're binding and we're getting all this power from all the witches. And they said it's not witches just in the United States. It's all over the world.
Yeah.
All over the world. Ho, ho, ho. Well, you know what? Witches, we bind you from binding the president. In the name of Jesus.
Curse godless.
Amen. So, Jesus is the high priest of our confession of faith.
Yeah.
A high priest takes the words that you say and brings them to pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and because we're born again, we're seated with him.
Yeah.
Just know that. We are seated with him.
Amen.
You know what? Even the scientists know that there's something in the spirit realm that we're seated there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't quite figure it out.
Yeah.
Now that's, if you ever want to buy Charles Capp's book on quantum faith, but you really got to read it slowly.
Slowly.
But it's proved because there's quantum science, you know, and quantum faith is all part of that. You know, just know God created everything. He created all the knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so, and this is a little bit of what we said. The law of saying isn't prejudiced or partial.
Amen.
It works for everybody.
Amen.
Now, get this. God cannot do anything on your life unless you say it. That's why you've got to get scriptures in you and know what to say. Unless you say so. You know what? That goes with Romans 10:9-10.
Yes, it does.
Is getting born again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How did you get born again? You had to say it.
Yeah.
And you had to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Out loud.
Come on.
See, even those the Jewish rulers in the synagogue, they're like the one Nicodemus.
Yeah.
He said, well, you know, I really believe in you, Jesus, but I won't say it to like in front of, because he would have gotten kicked out.
Yeah.
But see, you can believe something in your heart, but if you never say it, it will never come to pass. You can believe that it's right to be saved, but if you never say it and proclaim it, you're not saved. Isn't that something? And it's the same way with healing. It's the same way with every area of your life that God died on the cross for. Every single thing, you've got to say it. Unless you say so. So see, if you're saying the negative all the time, then the devil starts to do things to you.
Yeah.
And believe me, I'm preaching to myself. Because, you know, when you have a lot of pain and it doesn't go away, and you know what's not The easiest thing. But just, you know what? Say, you don't deny it.
No.
You say, yeah, I've got pain in a certain place.
Yeah.
But I know that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed.
Yeah.
So you cover it over.
Yeah.
You cover it over. But see, if you talk more about the pain and the symptoms and don't say the word, then you're giving the devil more place to put it on you. You've got to say the word. Of course, you know, see, some people have been flaky, gone to the doctor and said, there's nothing wrong with me. What's wrong with you? Why did you come in? No reason. No reason. Oh, what are you here for? I mean, that's getting goofy. We used to call it cornflakes. So Proverbs 6:2 says that we are snared by the words of our lips, of our mouth. Go to Matthew 12. We said this one too last week. Verse 36 and 37. Oh, you know what? Let's start with verse 35. You know what? Let's start. Yeah, 34. I was just going to. Well,
yeah.
You know.
Out of the abundance, the heart is mouth speaks. Yeah.
Where were you at?
In the Bible. Matthew 12. Matthew 12. You know what? Go to verse 33.
Which one? 33.
Yeah.
I'd say
it's
talking about the
hypocrites. Oh, well. Okay. Out of the Amplified, you got it up there. Oh, that's okay. Whatever you got. Either make the tree good. Now, let's just say the tree is your tongue. Either make the tongue good and its fruit good, or else make the tongue corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree, the tongue, will be known by its fruit, by what coming out of your mouth. You know, some people, they, you know, swear in front of you, but they know that you're godly or whatever. Or you go to church or you're, you know, stuff. And then they go, oh, I didn't mean that. But see, out of the abundance of their heart, the mouth starts to speak. But, you know, and when stuff starts to come out of your mouth, you know, and sometimes life situations, a lot of things, boing, 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 you know, this, that happens, or all this stuff's going on and you got to take care of it. And you haven't been able to stay full. And you notice that your words aren't like they were a month ago or 2 weeks ago. And you go, I know I've said to myself, it's time for me to get away and just keep away and get into the word and talk to the Lord and worship the Lord. It's time, or the enemy's going to get that door in there. And get to church, or, you know, a whole bunch of things have been going on, even going on vacation. I've seen it. Not when I go to conferences, though. You almost don't even know what they're saying anymore because you get kind of tired. But you know what? You come back and it's in you. It got in you. It got in you, and it's worth it. Yeah. Just know that when stuff starts to come out like it used to be, even before you were a Christian, or just it's just not quite where you, the standard that you want, it's time to get back. It's to have some vacation with the Lord alone. Or get back to church, whatever. And here's the sweet, kind, loving Jesus. Oh, you generation of snakes. You generation of vipers. They're snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yep, whatever's been going in there. Okay. And that can even be with a Christian. But a good man, out of the good treasure or deposit of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure or deposit that he putting in his heart, brings forth evil things. Okay. But I say to you, But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak. What does idle mean? When you're idle, it's, you're not working.
Yeah.
You're kind of being lazy.
Yeah.
They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And it says in the Amplified, it's an inoperative, non-working word. And sometimes we can be speaking too many words.
Yeah.
You know, my stuff, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Yeah. And now, in the King James, it says, but, are you got the Amplified? Leave it up. That's good. The Amplified. For by your words, you're going to be justified, like in a courtroom, and you'll be acquitted.
Yes.
You'll be, hey, you're free.
Yeah.
And by your words, you will be condemned if you're speaking the wrong ones and sentenced.
That's right.
And the devil may even say, but I have place in their life because they just opened the door to me. I'll read it again. For by your words, you'll be justified, justification, like somebody winning in the courtroom and acquitted, made free. And by your words, you will be condemned and sentenced. However, there's always repentance.
Yeah.
But just be honest with thyself. You know what? Thank God for repentance. Repentance is a gift. Believe me, that we still have. And repentance is good, 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 good stuff. Now, I said that, but God can't do anything in your life unless you say so. And if you say negative all the time, then the enemy starts to do things. And even if you go into big details about your sickness or your disease, you know what? It starts to get inside of you. Or what about someone did to you? I'm guilty. I've done it. That's why I know. And so sometimes you just got to quit talking about stuff.
Amen.
The sovereignty of God, you know, people will say that God is a sovereign God. And that means he causes all the storms. He causes all the sickness. He causes everything. Now, God is sovereign according to his word. What his word says is sovereign. And you have to, this whole thing, that's why it's so fat. It cannot, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. He is sovereign, and the sovereignty of God is released through the words that you speak out of his word. He is the word. Now, sovereignty means power, independent power or authority. So see, all these words have authority. See, he's not going to change his mind. Well, he caused that car accident or that disease, but he didn't cause that one because he liked that person better. God is not like that. He's not like us at all. And so then we went, I even think, Proverbs 4.
Yeah, that's the big one.
There's so much. If you meditate on Proverbs 4, there's just a lot you can get out of it. But just get where you're at with it and then just keep going over it and over it. You know, I remember hearing Gloria Copeland once, and she said, She said, if there was a medicine out there that cured all diseases, wouldn't you save your money and pay for it and get it? First one in the line to get it. Medicine. And she said, there is. And that medicine is God's word. So it says, my son, attend to my words. Now, you may go to the doctor, and the doctor may tell you words.
Yeah.
But see, you've got to attend to his words soon as that happens, because you've got to attend to his words.
Right.
You know, and the doctor is maybe right about things that are happening in the natural, but you've got to get into his word. You attend to his word. She's attending to her babies over here, right? She's attending to her child over here, babies. Okay, you don't just, when you attend to him, you pay attention. So you have to, it says, don't pay attention to the news words, to the media words, you know, stuff like that. Pay attention more so to God's word, okay? In every situation, incline your ear to my sayings. Now, if you have to incline your ear, that means that, what do you do with your ears? You hear, right? So those sayings are said out loud. You can't just read God's words for healing and all those things. You have to say it out loud. Incline your ear. And when you have an inner ear, when you speak the word of God, it goes right straight down in to your heart. Even when you listen to a CD, it doesn't do that. Sometimes people actually make CDs of their own voice saying all the healing scriptures. It should be good, you know. So everybody's going to want Tony to... Anyway, so just know that if you're inclining your ear, it has to be something that's said out loud. Okay, don't let them depart from your eyes either. You know, and sometimes, like, I can know a lot of the word by heart, but it's best to go look at it. It's just best to go look at it. But unless it's like I just got up and sitting there with my coffee and the cat on my lap and there's no lights on. I kind of like that. And I'm talking to God. And sometimes the things that I know by heart, I start saying. But I say it with meditation. I can sometimes actually visualize it written across like that. You can do that if you, Well, anyway, but it's been many years. Okay. So, but keep them in front of your eyes. And then says, and keep them in the midst of thy heart. And that you have to hear. You have to hear the word in church. Hear. Now, I'll be saying some of the word, you know, and I am saying the word. But you, it's best coming out of your own mouth, especially for healing. Okay? It says, now the next verse. For the words are life unto those that find them. You got to find the word. You notice it's scattered like healing. Scriptures are scattered throughout the whole Bible. You know, Marilyn Hickey has that, talks about how there's healing in every book of the Bible. And Marilyn Hickey, I don't know, I think she's over 90, isn't she? She's still, what? 88, she still goes to foreign countries, she still preaches, she's still sharp as a tack.
Amen.
She's a whoopee-doo lady. She's got a sanguine personality. Anyway. Party girl. Yes, that's exactly what it is. So it says that the words of God are life to those that find them, and health also means health. There means a cure, it's soundness, a remedy, a medication, a a healing to all my flesh. For God's word is, let's say, medication to my flesh.
Yes.
It's healing to my flesh. And then it's medicine to my flesh. Just like you would get medicine from the doctor. She's, and I can remember Marilyn Hickey saying something about she had a little tumor or lump on her finger, and it looked bad, and it was growing fast. And so she knew that, you know, the word is medicine to all your flesh. She said, well, if I go to the doctor, he'll give me medicine to put on it or burn it off or whatever. And so she said, I'm going to use your medicine, Lord. And so she would speak it as if she had gotten a prescription so many times a day. And I think in this case, she did it four times a day. Within, I don't know what, a week, it disappeared. I might be off on that week thing, but it wasn't very long. And she pointed to it. And, you know, this was way back when hardly anybody believed that stuff. But, then I heard, it was Bill Winston. And he said, the word find, for they are life unto those that find them. Actually, in the Hebrew, it means enunciate. For the word of God is life unto those that enunciate them and health to all their flesh. In other words, you are to say it out loud.
Amen.
If you're enunciating it, you're saying it out loud.
Amen.
I just thought, woo, that's the Hebrew word for that.
Yeah.
Okay, then it says, verse 23, keep your heart, though, with all diligence. For out of your heart are the issues, the decisions, the belief of your life, out of your heart. What you hear out here goes in your heart. And it could even be somebody that you hang around and it goes in your heart. You know, the words go in your heart. It could be just negativity, or even somebody you live with, you know what? That it's just. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Certain things go in your heart. If you like gossip about people, it goes in your heart, and then you feel funny about them, which is that's devilish. See, and the devil is the accuser of the brothers and sisters in the Lord. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. And that's something you always goes, because then you're actually operating from, you're doing what the devil wants you to do. We've all probably done it. So, I mean, you know what? So then it says, but all, even stuff, movies that you watch, it gets in your heart, and it you know, you start living your life by some of those things. You don't even know you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's really important. Guard your heart. It says in the Amplified, it says keep guard. Keep means guard, and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. And somebody else in the Hebrew, they said that means like here comes this big diamond into this museum, you know, on display. And they usually have guards 24/7. On something like that, a huge diamond encased in a case. And that's how much you should guard your heart against bad words or whatever, evil. For out of it flow the springs of life, the issues of life, the decisions of life, whatever. Okay, one more. Put away from you a froward, means perverted, and perverse lips put far from you. Perverted lips, if you start reading Proverbs a lot, especially Proverbs, you'll find out that perverse lips mean anything that's against the Word of God. You start to, they actually call it wicked. Wicked words. Twisted, because they're the opposite of what he says. Yeah. Oh boy, that's heavy. That's a heavy rivy. But there's no circumstances, there's absolutely no power, there's no devil that can stop God. The one living inside of you, if you are born again. I know you probably know all this stuff. And I've heard that before. But you know what? You got to hear it and hear it and hear it to get it in. And also it comes out. So there's no power that can stop God's promises. And in fact, they're things that are done. They aren't even promises. They're done of His Word. You can't stop them from coming to pass in your life when the word of God, of those promises, comes out of your mouth.
True.
See, when you start saying the word of God, to all of heaven starts to back you up. God sends all His angels, hey, go back them up. And I said, heaven and earth, they'll pass away, but the word of God won't. Burn up all the Bibles in the world. It doesn't make any difference. These words are permanent. These words are permanent. They're forever settled in heaven. There's all kinds of scripture. Did you know they're purified in a furnace 7 times? I don't know exactly what that means, but they are purified in a furnace 7 times. Says that in the word. You know what? Sometimes if you're, as you're reading and you see words that talk about the word, write them out and put them all in a in a roll. There's a lot of them about the word. See, it's forever, ever, 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 ever settled in heaven. All the heaven's going to burn up, all those planets and all that stuff, but the words of God will never. And God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. All of that. Isaiah 43:26, and you don't even have to put it up there because we had this last week, but he said, put me in remembrance. Remembrance of what? God actually wants you to put Him in remembrance of His Word. There's another version that says, come, let us run together and tell me of my Word. I don't know what version it is, but it says, let us plead together. Declare thou that you might be justified, that you might be proved right.
Amen.
Okay, Jeremiah 1:12. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. This is it though. For I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it.
Amen.
I'm alert. Oh, Michelle, she said the word. Jesus says to the God the Father, Michelle said the word. Now we can perform the word in her life. You see? So He watches over His word to perform it. Isaiah 55:11, and this is one to actually memorize. You can put that one up there, 55:11. The word never returns void, but shall accomplish what I please, saith the Lord, and prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
Amen.
Isaiah 55:11. That's one of them you should get inside of you. The word never returns void. Tell the devil off with it. Huh? I'm speaking His word. Get out of here. Okay, Jeremiah 20, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth. Okay, but it's got to come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
It shall not return to me void without producing any effect, right? It won't come out useless, but it will accomplish that which I please and purpose and prosper. And prosper means to way far over and above all that you ask and think for the thing for which you sent it.
Yeah,
asked for $100 and He gave you $1,000.
Amen.
Okay, then Jeremiah 23:29.
Okay. Here we go again.
Well, there's lots of word.
Good. Good.
It is good, isn't it, Bonnie? Taste and see that the Lord is good. We heard it the other night, didn't we?
You know what? Put up 28 just for a little instruction. It says, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell his dream. But my word, let him speak my word faithfully. See, we can have dreams and think, oh, I have this dream, I got to interpret it. I have this dream, I got to interpret it. I have this dream. And sometimes you might. You're going to know when you are and when you aren't. You're going to know. Not all dreams. And I've heard Kenneth Hagin say, it was just too much pizza before you went to bed. You know, ate the wrong thing. You know, or watched something. Now, he calls it straw. What has straw, in other words, a dream, in common with wheat, which he compares to his word, for nourishment, says the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't take that much stock in all of them.
No way.
The reason I say that is because I've run into people who almost wanted every dream interpreted that they had. It's like, come on, just get in the word already. Yeah. You know, when you've been around this long, you run into a lot of stuff. And then you know what's right and what's wrong. Or you get to that point. Is not my word like fire? Fire! That consumes all that cannot endure the test. The word is like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance. See, there might be somebody really stubborn out there. Yeah. And you know what? And here it comes. You just speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. And then finally, the resistance goes down. And then this is the mascot scripture of this church. Hebrews 4:12. So we're going to look at it. Notice it's in the New Testament. The word is so rich. It really is just so rich. And go in the Amplified for that. Yeah. Okay. Everybody there? For the word of God that speaks, notice it says speaks. You're saying it out loud, in other words, is alive. See, the word in a book, unless it's a scripture, are actually dead words. But I mean, books can instruct you. Books that, you know, people write. But look at this. It's alive. Purely alive, just like the blood of Jesus is alive. And it's full of power.
Amen.
Dynamite.
Yes.
Nah.
Amen.
Nuclear.
Yes. Amen.
Power. And then in parentheses, it says it makes it active. See, the word's working when you speak it aloud. It's operating. It's operative. It's energizing. Yes. You know what? I can tell you this, that the word of God has energized me.
Amen.
I mean, and you can be in the severity of depression, sobbing. But if you will go to God and speak the word, even though you're sobbing and saying, God, I'm sorry, I'm sobbing. but you're speaking the word. I'll tell you what, you'll move out of it.
Amen.
And you feel like death. I mean, you feel hopeless. But you speak that word, and I'll tell you what, you'll come out of it. Because it's energizing and it's effective. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. A two-edged sword is like a double-bladed knife. It's sharp on both ends, right?
Amen.
Sharp on both ends.
Yes.
Okay. And it penetrates to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit. Yeah. Now, if you've ever, you know that, okay, now you can all look at me. Heart,
yep.
You have a heart, and that's where God lives, and we have that in between. Yep. Here's the spirit, where God is. Here's the soul that needs to be renewed by the word, and it's your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions. And the more you renew your mind, the more the spirit moves over into the soul.
Come on.
See, and then you live in a body. Okay, but now it said it's sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit. Now listen to this. And then it says, and this is the example of the joints and marrow of the deepest part of our nature. And I, just on meditating on that, I thought about a chicken, chicken bones. I mean, a cooked chicken. And, you know, I don't know. Well, my mom raised chickens. And so, you know, in the old days, we used to eat everything. You know, we eat that, like the leg, you know, and then that one part on there, you go, couldn't wait to crunch it and suck out the marrow even. But you know what? Marrow, oh, you guys, you have no idea how good marrow is for you. Yeah, I know we give marrow to dogs. That part, or people make soup, but the marrow, whoo, it's healthy. Anyway, but that's it. If you could separate the joint and the marrow, which is very difficult, there's its fine line there, right? See, the word of God, though, will make you separate your own thoughts, your own words, your own intentions, your own motives, and say your motives. And all of a sudden, you might be doing something all the time. I know because I've been there. And I go, oh, I had the wrong motive. I didn't even know it, God. I'm so sorry. I'll change that. Oh, I'm like devastated, but you were just, you know, you just weren't there yet.
Yeah, that's right.
And you go, oh, my motive was totally wrong. Do you see that?
Yeah.
But it's the word of God that makes that fine line of saying, I'm not coming from my spirit. I'm coming from my emotions, maybe. Or you make wrong decisions when you're real emotional. Or say wrong things, right? Well, the word of God, a lot of the word of God and speaking it out loud will change that in you. This is totally sermon going totally different than it was. Anyway, that's what God wanted. Okay, of the deepest parts of our nature, it does. It exposes, you see where we're at, and sifts and analyzes and judges the very thoughts and the purposes of your heart. And you go, oh, I didn't know I was doing that. But see, this is the whole thing. You got to keep that word up. Because if you stop, you can tell you start to go back where you were again. It says, so when you speak God's word, you're ushering in God's supply to your life. Whether it's healing supply, whether it's money supply, whether it's a relationship supply, you're ushering it in. You know, it's going to flood you. Whatever you need, and there's scriptures separated all over the Bible for all those, the different things that you need in your life. He's got something for everything. He really does. He really does. So so you speak out loud what he says, and it will come to pass.
Amen.
Oh, let's say you get a prophetic word from someone. Okay? Take that word and repeat it. Repeat it. Rehearse it. Prophesy it out loud. Continue to do it, even if it's 10 years old. 20 years old. I'll tell you, there's some things that Kenneth Hagin and a lot of the people, they prophesied these things in the 70s. They still have not come to pass. But you keep saying them. But if you got a personal word, They keep saying, Lord, you said by the word of this prophet or this person that blah, 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 blah. Somebody, I'll just give you an example. But you know what? That word is for every person who's older in this church. Because God told me it was for everybody. And he said, we'd run like the prophets of old. He said, you run like the prophets of old who girded up the loins. And that means you have a long skirt and you tuck it in your waist so you can run. Yeah. But it's really girding up the loins of your mind. You gird up the loins of your mind and you'll run like the prophets of old who girded up their loins and outran chariots and horses. Yeah. Who was that? That was Elijah outrunning Jezebel and Ahab's chariot. And Jezebel and Ahab were evil. That was pure witchcraft there. But they'll do that. And it said, the Lord's eyes run to and fro, 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says that.
Yes, it does.
To see whose heart is right before him.
Yep.
And it says that it runs to and fro. And it said, we qualified as a church because he couldn't find everybody who would keep going. I'm saying it under, keep going under the pressure, under everything, and keep using his word, no matter what it looked like, we'd keep going. And I said, because of that, I don't have it with me tonight, we would be 20 to 30 years younger. And the anointing would make that so. To do the work that has to be done. And I think that's when he says, because my eyes went all over and looked, and you qualify. And then it says, and because of that, you will always be taken care of financially. That's truly come to pass. And that God would continually create stadiums of favor for us. So, 20 to 30 years younger. And Pastor Ike Akabogo came here and he said, this is a church of of youth. Amen. Even if you're 80. Take it. You know what? But see, that's something you've got every day. Say it every day. You get every day. Say it. Well, even if you skip a day, just keep saying it. So, see, no matter what you don't have, you have words. And, you know, sometimes people will say, hey, let's sow money into this thing. And you say, well, I don't have any money to sow. And you know what? But you have words. And words are seeds. And so you say, Lord, just I call in some finances so I can give to this ministry. I remember in that one book that were by Nancy, Supernatural Life. It was still in my thing from Wednesday. This lady said she wanted to give $1,000 and she was like a single mother with a couple kids. She wanted to give $1,000 to this speaker and she didn't have it. And she said, I'll give it in 30 days. And she thought, how am I going to give it in 30 days? I can hardly make it now. Yeah. Well, the Lord, she started praying, and the Lord says, remember all the barrettes that you made, cute little barrettes for little girls, you know. And he said, take them. Well, she went to her friend who had a boutique shop, and she took them in there, you know, just to sell them. And she was behind the counter, and this lady came in, and she said, did you make these homemade? And she said, yeah, I did. I made them at my house. And she said, I'll take 50,000 of them. And she was a manager of several, like, big department stores. And so she really got the money. She got more than enough and supply kept going on.
Yeah.
I'll stop pretty soon, man. Okay. So, but see, use your words to get what you don't have.
Yes.
Use the word of God to get what you don't have.
Yes. That's right.
Because your words are seed.
Yeah.
And it says that in Mark 4. The sower sows the word. So that, see, that's a parable. It says words, specifically speaking about the word of God, are seeds. I can remember before we were a Christian, we went to a marriage encounter. And it was showed, we have a book, I don't know if we still have it. It was a long time ago. But anyway, it showed seed bags, a whole bunch of seed bags. And then, it was talking about the words that we speak to our spouse. And some of them were bad seed bags, some were good seed bags. And it just says, just know, reaping what you sow.
Yeah,
and I thought, well, that was good. That was right on the money. Even though it was.
We even born again.
No, I know. So, see, your words are seeds. So plant what you want. And don't speak the opposite.
No way.
And the seed of your words, it will grow. And it'll become what you planted. Now, sometimes in between there, though, we'll speak negative. And it's kind of like you got weeds. And so then you got to spray those weeds with more word. Maybe more word than you do. Psh, 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 you know. Yeah, ask for forgiveness, too. See, and then... You have, but if you speak good words, you're going to, you know, like tomato seeds, you're going to have ripe tomatoes if you plant them. Now, here's another thing, though. Those words have to be spoken out loud.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Because if you just keep them in your heart, like we were talking about, just like being born again, they won't come. It won't come to pass.
Yeah.
You've got to speak them. Speaking words, the word of God is planting it.
Yeah, amen.
And it's just like putting money in a bank account.
Yes.
You can't withdraw anything out of the bank account if you never put anything in it.
Come on.
But you're saying the word of God over whatever you need will bring that withdrawal. You could withdraw then from the unseen realm what you need. Do you know what I mean? You getting this? It's a truth. Or you can move things with your word, with the word of God. You can move them out. What scripture is that? Mark 11, 22 and 23. You put it up there, Mark 11. Do it out of the King James. And see, oh, well, okay. Mark 11, 22 says, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. God gave you his own faith. You have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith speaks. His method of operation is he speaks it. So we're supposed to do the same thing God does. He's trying to tell you that. Okay. So Jesus said, have faith in God, have the God kind of faith, have faith, the faith of God. It's all, okay, the next one. For verily, and verily means it's done.
Yeah.
Absolutely guaranteed it's done. When he says verily, I say to you that whosoever shall say unto that mountain of pain, yes, to cancer, to whatever, to not enough cartilage in your knees, to whatever it is, to your eyes, to your ears. Say to that mountain, you get out of here, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea. The Lord showed me why cast into the sea, because seawater dissolves. It dissolves. Because he showed me that when I had that. Be thou removed, be cast into the sea, And then, if you shall not doubt in your hearts, but shall believe that those things whatsoever you say, shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. And one time Kenneth Hagin said, the Lord said to him, do you notice that I said say more often than I did believe? See, sometimes we'll believe in our heart, but our mouth spews out what's going on too much. You know what? Spews out too much what's going on. So he said, watch the saying more than you know, your heart may even be believing, but and if you say the wrong thing, just repent. And it's okay. Because I'm shocked the things that God has done for me after what I think. You know, but and shall believe those things which he say shall come to pass. He's going to have whatsoever he says.
Amen.
You're going to have whatsoever you say.
Amen.
Actually, then the next verse and we'll stop.
Yeah, that's the best one right there.
And whatsoever things you desire.
When
you pray, believe that you receive them, not when you see them. That's what that means. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. Gloria Coppola always says, take it.
Yes.
Receive it. Take it. And you know, I think there's, in the Greek, there's something that means Legos.
Yeah, blocks.
Like building blocks.
Yeah.
You build building blocks.
Yeah.
It's the word Legos. And we know what Legos are. We know a Greek word, Legos. Okay, but when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, notice, though, that it said in verse 23, it said that you say. You can get things two ways, by saying them and by praying them. But when you pray, you say the word. So it's the same thing, really. You see that?
Yeah.
You know what? Go on. This is important. The next one.
Yeah.
And when you stand praying, forgive.
Amen.
If you have aught against any,
amen,
that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
Yes.
Next verse.
Come on.
For if you do not forgive, neither can your Father. Amen. Will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you?
Come on.
He can't do it. And that's huge. Sometimes, well, I've been saying all these scriptures for a long time and nothing's happening. Check your love walk.
Amen.
Check your love walk.
Yeah.
Maybe you have unforgiveness for something. Could even be for someone that's dead.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So just know, whenever you speak, it'll move a hunk of that mountain. Well, and keep saying, now, you thank God, you say it, you know, you can say it, you say it once, you speak to it, as long as you're believing in here. If you hadn't really been believing in here, though, you better say it again. But it's the truth. Because people say, don't say it again, but you know what, that person might not have believed it. I heard Kenneth Hagin say that himself. Yeah. So, see, then you keep speaking that, though. You thank God. I thank you, God, that that mountain of sickness is being removed in my life. I thank you, God. But you say it because, you know why you say it? For your own faith.
Yeah.
You've got to say the word, I've seen that.
Yeah.
When I had cancer, I mean, I thanked him for the healing. But then I said all those scriptures over and over my own faith.
Yeah.
So I was pumped.
Yeah.
And when I went in, I was so pumped. I was like, I was. I mean, he even said I was came out smiling and ministering to people. And I can remember they wheeled me out and I was like this. And then I know I would meet people in the hallway and they'd look at me. They did. They looked at me like I was nuts. I know. I think so. Well, you know what? I think it was the light of the word. I do. Because I remember that pretty vividly.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, that went totally different than I thought. Amen.